and read the chapter of Job, chapter 23. Only 17 verses here. Job 23 and verse 1. Then Job answered and said, "Today also my complaint is bitter. My hand is heavy on account of my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know what he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in the greatness of his power? No, he would pay attention to me. There an upright man could argue with him, and I would be acquitted for ever by my judge. Behold, I go forwards, but he is not there, and backwards, but I do not perceive him. On the left hand, when he is working, I do not behold him. He turns to the right hand, but I do not see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. But he is unchangeable, and who can turn him back? What he desires, that he does. For he will complete what he appoints for me, and many such things are in his mind. Therefore I am terrified at his presence when I consider I am in dread of him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. Yet I am not silenced because of the darkness, nor because thick darkness covers my face." Amen. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts. I want to build the message this morning around verse 10 of Job 23. "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold." And you can see the sermon title there, "God Will Get Rid of Our Dross." Sometimes the Lord has to be hard with us in order to make us better, in order to make us more aware of him, more spiritual, more mature in the Christian life. Job, by this stage, was in a process. His friends, his three friends, Job's comforters — everybody seems to know about Job's comforters. Anybody in the street will come out with, "Oh, he or she is a Job's comforter." And if you ask them about anything about Job's comforters, they wouldn't have a clue. But it's just a wee saying that comes off their lips. But Job didn't have any comforters. His friends were unhelpful. They were comfortless comforters. For example, in the previous chapter, in chapter 22 and verse 5, Eliphaz says to Job, "Is not your evil abundant? There is no end to your iniquities." Now, this is the man that we meet in chapter 1 and verse 1, who's described for us as blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. Later on, you'll read those words again, coming from the lips of God himself, saying to Satan, "Have you not considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the land." One who fears God and turns away from evil. And yet here we have one of the comforters saying, "Is not your evil abundant? There is no end to your iniquities." Because they saw that all of Job's suffering was because of some sin in his life. "For you have exacted pledges of your brothers for nothing and stripped the naked of their clothing. You have given no water to the weary to drink, and you have withheld bread from the hungry. The man with power possessed the land, and the favoured man lived in it. You have sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless were crushed. Therefore snares are all around you, and sudden terror overwhelms you. Now Job did not have that kind of reputation, where he ill-treated others. The reputation that he did have was that he was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. And what God thought of him and what his friends thought of him were two different lines of thought. But just to give an outline of this chapter, in verses 1 to 7, we see Job's desperation. He was desperate to meet with God face to face. Then Job answered and said, "Today also my complaint is bitter. My hand is heavy on account of my groaning. Oh, that I..." Here's one of these oh's in the Bible that really cries out from a desperate heart. "Oh, that I knew where I might find him. That I might come even to a seat. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know what he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in the greatness of his power? No, he would pay attention to me. There an upright man could argue with him, and I would be acquitted forever by my judge." Job knew within himself that he wasn't guilty of all these charges that his friends were bringing against him. He was an upright man. But he was desperate. It's as if he was going to meet God in a court. And then of course, you have a case, and you have the arguments, and then you have the verdict. And Job is confident that he will come out well on the other side. "There an upright man could argue with him, and I would be acquitted forever by my judge." Now Job was in a very dark place. Verse 17 says, "Yet I am not silenced because of the darkness, nor because thick darkness covers my face." And just to apply this to the stage of the year where we're at, the end of an old year, we have seen all that the 365 days of 2014 have held. And now we've entered a new year. And maybe you have entered this year in a dark place. But you know something, even though Job was in a dark place, he was not going to stop himself calling upon God, desperate to meet with God. "Yet I am not silenced because of the darkness, nor because thick darkness covers my face." Verse 4, "I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments." And yet it seems in verses 1 to 7, we have the silence of God. God was not answering Job. But even though God was not answering Job, that wasn't stopping Job calling upon God. That wasn't stopping Job being silent towards God. He was going to still call upon God, even though he didn't understand all that was going on. We see Job's desperation. We see God's direction. In verses 8 to 10, "So Job is looking for God. Behold, I go forwards, but he is not there. And backwards, I look ahead, I turn round, but I do not perceive him. On the left hand, when he is working, I do not behold him. He turns to the right hand, but I do not see him. But he knows the way that I take. God's direction. In verses 1 to 7, we think of the silence of God. Maybe Job is thinking here too of the absence of God. I cannot see God anywhere. But even though Job couldn't see God, God could see Job. Even though Job thought that God was doing nothing, God was at work. Because verse 9 says, on the left hand, when he is working. And we just cannot see him at that work. But God was taking Job in a particular direction. Just the same way as the things that you've come through, maybe the dark place that you're in, is a direction that God is taking you and taking me. Matthew Henry says, the God of Israel, the Savior, is sometimes a God that hides himself, but never a God that absents himself. Sometimes in the dark, but never at a distance. And it's as if Job looks at the four points of the compass, north, south, east, and west, forwards, backwards, the left to the right. There are no other directions in which we can look. And Job says, I do not know the way God takes. Yet God is there, even though Job couldn't see him. Because God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. And as we have come through 1 year and have started another year, let's be sure of this, that God knows what he's doing. God knows when he's doing it. God knows who he's doing it for. And God knows why he's doing it. And that's why we come to the third point, God's design. But he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. Whenever you read the first chapter of Job, and all that he had and all that he lost, and then read the last chapter of Job, chapter 42, and all that was replaced, that he lost, and more, you can certainly see the gold that God got rid of his dross. You see, friends, no matter what we're going through, no matter what darkness you're in, if we can just see beyond the experience, and Job could see beyond the experience, I don't know the way that he takes, but he knows the way that I take. He can see me. I can't see him. Maybe I haven't seen him for months, but he has seen me in every second of those months. Because his design and purpose is, when he has tried me, I'm in the process of a trial at the minute, I shall come out as gold. Because one has said, it's hard for us to see what good could possibly come through any Job-like experience we might face, When we're in the lion's den, it is natural for us to think about the teeth of the lion and the way to get away from them. Maybe that's all you can see, is the teeth of the lion. But Job saw beyond his experiences. And Peter says something similar in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. We wonder why we go through things. Why is this happening to me? Why, God? Though now for a little while, if necessary. Because God thinks that you need this experience or this affliction of some kind. If necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. Why? So that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Dross is a word that's used in getting rid of the scum that's on metals like gold and silver. And the only way to get it off is you don't take a scrubbing brush to it or any detergent. It has to go through a fire. It has to be burned off. It goes into the furnace. It's dull. There's no shine on it whatsoever, but it comes out the other side. It's gleaming. The shine, all the scum, all the dross has been burnt off. And that's even the imagery that God used to the children of Israel when they were in Egypt. In Deuteronomy 4 and verse 20, but the Lord has taken you and brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be a people of his own inheritance as you are this day. When they were in Egypt, they were in an iron furnace. Figuratively speaking, they were being processed. God was going to bring them out on the other side. God was going to give them his laws and his ways. God will get rid of the dross. No matter how long it takes, or no matter how short it takes, every experience is different. We're all different. God will deal with us in different ways. In order, of course, initially to bring him to himself. That you might call upon him, unsaved friend, for salvation. To be saved from your sins. And then he will work in your life. As Philippians 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun that good work in you will complete it until the day Jesus Christ comes again. Every day for years, God will work in your life. God will smooth off the rough edges. God will put you through the furnace to get rid of the dross. And Job knew that this was the experience that he was in. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. I like what the American author says, Warren Wiersbe. When God puts his own people in the furnace, he keeps his eye on the clock and his hand on the thermostat. He knows how long and how much. We may question why he does it to begin with, or why he doesn't turn down the heat, or even turn it off. But our questions are only evidences of unbelief. Job 23, verse 10 is the answer. Gold does not fear the fire. The furnace can only make the gold purer and brighter. So may 2015 be a better year than 2014 was. Maybe you realize now there's a purpose in all of this. There's a reason why I have gone through this experience. It's because God has taken me this way. He knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. And we see Job's determination in verses 11 and 12. Job wasn't giving up on God. Job, at the start of him having a hard time, and all his family taken from him, all his possessions taken from him and destroyed. Job didn't throw up his hands and say, well, if that's God, I'm having nothing to do with him. Job says, my foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. There was times in his life, you know, when Job, he didn't have the physical appetite that he once had. He was affected physically. He would have grown weak. He would have lost weight because of illness. I have esteemed, I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. And even though he was affected physically, he sought to keep himself healthy spiritually. No matter what he goes through, he says elsewhere, even though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. And Job had this determination about him that he would remain obedient to God and loyal to God's word. Job was no fair weather follower of God. Job's faith was no fair weather faith. He wasn't strong spiritually when it suited him. Throughout this whole book, and just the insights that we can see in what he was suffering, very, very difficult for him. But yet he's determined. I'm still holding on to God. My foot has held fast to his steps. I haven't gone off to walk in my own steps or to go off in my own way. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. And 13 to 17, we see Job's dread. Job's fear of God. Job's awe of God. But he is unchangeable. And who can turn him back? What he desires, that he does. We cannot tell God what to do or when to do it or who to do it to. God will do his own thing because all that God does is right. He is the perfect God. For he will complete what he appoints for me, and many such things are in his mind. What Job was going through, he realized that God could do so much more in his life. For he will complete what he appoints for me. God will bring this to a conclusion. God will bring this to completion. We're only halfway there, maybe. Three quarters way there. But this is going to come to a conclusion. And when you read on and you come to chapter 42, you can see that conclusion, where God blessed Job in the last chapter more than what he was blessed in the first chapter. For he will complete what he appoints for me, and many such things are in his mind. And when I think of God like this, one who is unchangeable, one who does not turn back, even though there may be tears and fears and not coping, and one who will complete all of this, therefore I am terrified at his presence. When I consider I am in dread of him, God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. The Authorized Version says God has made my heart soft. And if you have a hard heart this morning, God is able to turn that hardness into softness. God is able to make your hard heart soft. And he can use anything he wants to do that. He can be even hard on you, what you think is being hard on you, in order to make your heart soft. The Almighty has terrified me. So he had this fear of God, he had this awe of God. When he thought of God's fixed purposes, he is unchangeable, and who can turn him back? And he thinks of God's limitless resources, for he will complete what he appoints for me, and many such things are in his mind. And the word terrified here, therefore I am terrified at his presence, it means frightened, it means perplexed. It means confounded. When we think of the living and true God, Job had a great view of God. Job had a high and lofty view of God. And as we have entered 2015, it would be good for us to have that as well. But he knows the way that I take. But there's a purpose in it all. Life is hard. And none of us know what we are yet to go through. Life is hard, but without God, it's harder and hopeless. Job trusted God. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. This experience can only make me better. This experience can only make me more aware of God and more spiritually mature. Keep trusting God as Job did. Whatever you've gone through, whatever maybe has to be undertaken in any of our lives, here's a God who is changeless, and we need to just keep trusting him. And this is his design in our lives, that when he has tried us, we shall come out as gold. Through that process of the scum, the dross, getting rid from our lives. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts.